Packing peanuts?
No.
Shrink wrap?
No, but now moving will be a walk in the...
Packing tape?
Sure.
Get low prices on everything you need to move at Staples. And right now, Staples brand bubble roll is buy two, get one free. Staples, make more happen. Offer valid on same SKU only.
Volkswagen is expected to pay more than $15 billion to settle its emissions cheating scandal. But New York State Attorney General Eric Schneiderman has good news for Volkswagen owners in New York.
Today's settlement is really an unprecedented step towards getting restitution for those consumers and fixing the damage done to our environment by VW's complex and really devious fraudulent scheme.
Last year, they admitted that they installed software in some of their diesel vehicles that allowed them to cheat on emissions. Volkswagen will also have to pay $145 million directly to the state to be used for air quality improvements. Former NFL quarterback Tim Tebow is drawing social media praise for helping the family of a passenger who suffered a fatal heart attack on a commercial flight. He and other travelers tried to help the victim who fell ill during the flight from Atlanta to Phoenix. Tebow led the family and others in prayer and then accompanied them to the hospital after the plane landed. Then he stayed with the family at the hospital. This is USA Radio News.
Love sports articles but don't have time to search the web looking for the most compelling stories? Then US Sports Pages is for you. Why spend hours going to multiple sites looking to find sports articles when we can do the work for you? Our producers go through every newspaper in the country and pick out the best sports articles separated by sport, dramatically reducing your prep time. We also include sports and entertainment kicker stories. USSportsPages.com is the only site you'll need to get your sports fix. Check us out today, the daily links at USSportsPages.com.
Having a dog around may help some diabetes patients, USA's Anthony Lucero reports.
A new study out of England finds that dogs may be able to help blood sugar levels in type 1 diabetes patients from dropping too low. They say the dogs can detect the start of a hypoglycemic episode by smell. Hypoglycemia can strike diabetes patients without warning and can lead to disorientation as well as fatigue. Experts say dogs can be trained to smell a chemical present on a patient's breath when blood sugar levels start to fall. I'm Anthony Lucero.
The Daily Show is doing damage control after it posted a tweet about abortion. Soon after the Supreme Court struck down the abortion laws in Texas yesterday, the show posted, "Celebrate the ruling. Go knock someone up in Texas." The internet was quick to criticize the tweet for poor taste, calling it vile, irresponsible, and an embrace of the rape culture. Part of a Texas town is being evacuated as firefighters work on getting a massive train fire under control. People in the eastern part of the panhandle are being told to get out because the wind has shifted and is now blowing smoke into residential areas. Flames broke out this morning when two Burlington North Santa Fe trains crashed into each other about 30 miles east of Amarillo. One BNSF employee has been taken to the hospital, and authorities are trying to find three others. The NTSB is expected to have investigators on the scene later this afternoon. This is USA Radio News. I'm Kelly Sloan. For more news, we're on the web at usaradio.com.
Hey, it's Joe Peters of Real Estate Matters and 55 Plus, which is our show format for today. I've got with me today DJ Wright, and DJ's going to say hi.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, so Joe. We're going to play a little about the weather, and we're going to give you a few paid commercials, and we'll be back to talk about planning your final arrangements. It seems like a really, really off-top subject, but trust me, with DJ, it makes a subject that's difficult to talk about a really interesting subject. We'll be back in a few minutes. So let me tell you what's happening weather-wise right now. It's 71 degrees, and it has a storm cloud on my phone. It says that on Wednesday we're going to have 83 with about 7% chance of rain. That's a little bit better. On Thursday, same 7%, 85 degrees. On Friday, 83, 42%. And on Saturday, it looks like it's going to be a 50-50 day. So it's typical summer. We're getting to the end of June, early July. I guess July 1st is Friday already. Good grief. How did we get here already? It seems like it was just Christmas. And the good news, I usually say, you know, what did I see on the way down? I've seen gas at $1.96 again. That's interesting. We're sort of, yeah, this thing in the UK has hurt some things and helped others, but oil prices are coming down and gas is getting a little more reasonable. It's really creeped up over the last few months. So let me pop on a few of our paid commercials and we'll be back in 2 minutes.
We'll be right back.
Good morning, Hunnenin. This is Big Z coming to you from HunneninChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunnenin County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunnenin kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunnenin County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunnenin, HunneninChamberRadio.com.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Hey, it's Joe Peters back with DJ Wright. And today we're going to talk about DJ's business, which is if you go down towards the Flemington Circle on Route 31 to the left, you'll see the Wright Ford. I guess that's the way it is. It used to be Ford Wright.
It used to be the old Robert L. Ford Funeral Home, now Wright and Ford Family Funeral Home and Cremation Services.
Okay. And that's his business establishment. I met him with part of my Leadership Hunterdon activities, and we got to talking. And as a matter of fact, Marilyn and I have gone back and talked to him about our personal wishes and how we would end sort of our post-demise activities. I don't know what the right word for it is. It's not an easy subject to talk about, but once you get into it, there's a lot of options. And I said, you know what? This would be a great subject matter for our Over 55 group, because I really don't think most people, that they sort of leave it to their kids to figure out. What they
do, Joe, and I always say, you know, death more than anything, it's about life. You know, life and death are inextricably intertwined. The old joke of death and taxes is actually not true. You don't have to pay your taxes.
Right.
But unfortunately, death is going to visit us all.
Absolutely.
And for some reason, some people, I noticed it's a lot with the way people were raised. Some people, they want to talk about it. They have no problems speaking about it with their family. Others, whether it be cultural, religious, they want no part of the conversation. And that's kind of sad because what we need to do is, let's face it, the old days of being born in Flemington, raised in Flemington, living your life in Flemington, dying in Flemington, and being buried in Flemington are over.
Yeah.
People are scattered all over the world. At our funeral home, as you saw, I have a camera installed where we can broadcast services anywhere in the world. That's done because if a blizzard hits and somebody can't make it out, if somebody is serving in our armed forces and can't make it out, they can view the services. So we're living in a very mobile world. And, you know, my answer to everybody, it's very simple. We plan for every other event. We'll spend 2 years planning somebody's Sweet 16, yet someone will die and they'll have to make decisions in an hour to 2.5 hours that are going to affect their lives
right. Until
they close their eyes for the last time.
And it's the saddest part of your life when a dear friend or relative dies, and it's not the point where you're going to make a rational decision a lot of times. I think there's a lot to be taken into consideration, and I heard you talk at the hospital, and you must have went for an hour and a half that night.
Give or take, a lot of great questions came out that night.
Yeah, and we must have 50 or 60. There was a sort of a seniors session that Linda Bryant ran as part of the health care for seniors at the hospital. And we had one on Alzheimer's. We had one on having your house all cluttered, hoarding, I guess they call it. And then
hoarding.
We had one on the subject we're talking about today. And they were both, all three were very, very interesting. And after doing that, I said, you know what? I'm going to see if DJ's got some time. And you have a very demanding schedule because you don't know when you're going to be busy.
Well, it's 24/7, and it's definitely not a business. It's a ministry. And that's why I love what I do. It's not in the blood because I am first-generation funeral director, but I care about people. Every day is different. I do everything from psychology to sociology to biochemistry to law to accounting. You name it, we run the gamut. That's why it's such a wonderful profession and ministry. And I also want to just point out to everybody listening, the term funeral director is the more we've evolved from mortician to undertaker to funeral director, and I like to think myself more as a funeral guide. I try to take in everything that everybody is thinking, saying, feeling, and then guide them on what's best for them, because as you said before, what was good for you in Maryland might not be good for Mr. and Mrs. Smith up the street.
Right.
Might not be good for the mother who just lost her son. So it really is a very individualized set of circumstances for most people. But then you couple that with the tradition from various religions, from various ethnic groups. So there's a way to blend that individualism with the traditions and the norms and the mores that we've come to love and make us feel part of this society and just make the death part as bearable as possible.
Wow. So how does one get to be a funeral director? I mean, how did you first?
a lot of sleepless nights and a lot of hard work.
practice. No, that's.
I was 5 years old, and I told my father I wanted to be the funeral director.
Wow.
They looked at me, and they said, what? My family never hid death. I came from a fairly large family, seven on one side, on my mom's side, and six great-aunts and great-uncles on my grandfather's side. So as you can imagine, growing up with six great-aunts and great-uncles and their spouses on my grandfather's side, out on Long Island, there was a lot of death, and my family never hid it from me. I remember going to my first funeral at 3.5, 4 years old, and it wasn't a scary memory because my parents were very honest and very open with me. We had a very caring and still do loving relationship, and I think that helped. I think what we do today is we push death to the side. We've come to fear it, and what we fear, we become ignorant of. What we become ignorant of just leads to very, very bad things. So I was exposed as a young child, and I just found it fascinating. And once my parents made sure I wasn't crazy and realized I was a class clown, and I went to college. I went to Drew University in Madison, New Jersey, and I
good
said,
school.
"It is. I love Drew." Well, shout out to Drew. Get your pledges in for the end of the year, everybody in Drewland. we're at our matching grant if we get certain participation rate from alumni. So
good luck.
I've been pounding the pavement trying to get ready to donate. But I was at Drew and studying to be a psychologist, working up at Greystone Psychiatric Hospital. And I said, you know what? If I don't truly investigate this, I'm going to regret it for the rest of my life.
Right.
So I walked down to the local funeral home, told them who I was. They gave me a beeper. And at 3 a.m., the phone rang and the beeper went off. And next thing I know, I was out making my first transfer of a decedent into the care of that funeral home, and I was hooked ever since. After that, I went to mortuary school because I had my bachelor's degree. I was able to do it in what I call a military boot camp year, to the point where I wasn't even allowed, one of my great aunts died, if I missed that day for her funeral, I would not be excused and I would fail the exam that day.
Wow.
So I missed that day because I thought that was the most ridiculous thing in the world, that a funeral student couldn't go to their family funeral, and I got a 0 for my biology test that day, and I still graduated valedictorian.
Wonderful.
So I'm pretty proud of that fact. And, you know, I did it in a boot camp year. It's, again, you have to take a pretty much international licensing exam, and then every state has its own rules and regulations. So New Jersey has a law exam, which you need to do, and a practical exam where they physically come out, a state inspector comes out and watches you perform an autopsy. It's another licensed funeral director that sits on the board.
Okay.
Not an autopsy, rather, but a full embalming.
Embalming.
And also, there is an internship from 1 to 3 years. You can do it in a year if you are astute enough and really want to work at it.
Yep.
I was able to do it concurrently with my schooling. It was, again, it was 24-hour days, but when it's a ministry and you love it, it's what you do.
Yep.
And you have to do, back then, you had to do 75 embalmings, run 75 funerals, and participate in 75 arrangements. The numbers are a little bit higher now, which I think is good because we are dealing with a very different set of circumstances. You know, in the old days, if you were Protestant, you had one funeral. If you were Jewish, you had one funeral. If you were Catholic, you had one funeral. And if you were non-denominational, you had the other funeral.
Okay.
It was easy. Yeah. You made one phone call, and it just flowed.
Yeah.
Nowadays, we're doing everything from, you know, having polka bands live at the funeral home to having your traditional 2 to 4, 7 to 9, go to mass the next day funerals. So there's no right or wrong. It's really, again, how we figure and how I help guide your family based on what you tell me, what your needs are.
Right.
And again, I always tell folks, entombing a body, burying a body, getting a body donated to science, cremating a body, those are all the easy parts of what I do. The difficult part of what I do and the most important part of what I do, frankly, are the families that are left.
Right.
Taking care of those who are left behind. The reverence and respect that we treat all of our decedents in our care, that goes without saying. That doesn't change. As I'm often apt to say, prince or pauper, you're going to get treated the same. It doesn't matter if you're a prince, doesn't matter if you're a pauper. You're going to get treated, your physical body is going to get treated the same way with the ultimate in reverence and dignity and respect. And I like to think we do that with all our families as well. But that's the most important part, is how we take care of our families. And there's various ways to do that based on your individual needs.
Right. So 4 years of college, you said psychology degree?
My degree's in psychology and philosophy, and I minored in French.
And then a boot camp year at funeral director school.
Boot camp year, if you have a bachelor's,
already,
you can get it done in a boot camp year.
And then 3 years of internship.
1 to 3 years.
1 to 3 years.
It depends on how quickly you can get all of those embalmings and funerals and arrangements done. I was fortunate enough to work really, really hard and get it all done. So I was licensed. I graduated in June, and I was licensed by that September of 2002.
So that's
14 years ago.
Wow.
Seems like yesterday.
And you spent, how did you pick Flemington? Did you grow up here?
No, my ex-girlfriend, Dr. Altamari, a lot of people will know that name, Corrado Altamari. He used to be head of obstetrics and gynecology at the medical center.
Okay.
For many, many years. His daughter went to Drew, and you know, we met, the old love story, and I had gone to her grandmother's funeral at a local funeral home here in Flemington, and got to know the people, and after I was not comfortable where I was in mortuary school, I just didn't feel that I didn't feel that the folks that were at that particular funeral home This was after college in another funeral home that I didn't, that I was attending during mortuary school. Just didn't have the same feeling that I did about funeral service as a true ministry.
Right.
And I just, you know, figured Flemington was eventually going to be a place where I was going to settle down in. So I heard they may be looking. I came down, and the next thing I know, I was moving to Flemington.
Wonderful.
And, you know, helping to manage and run Holcomb Fisher Funeral Home for many years in Flemington.
Okay.
And, you know, yeah, I was there for 13 years, and I think brought a lot of impactful changes. And then we parted ways in September of 2014. And again, when you work 24 hours a day, every day of the year in a community, and you become part of that community, I couldn't leave. I didn't want to leave. And at that point, Bob Ford was trying to figure out his exit plan, as he, you know, he was not getting any younger, and his children had both said they were not going into the business, and he's an only child. And it just made sense, because getting a mortuary license for a facility is very difficult, because not many people would like a funeral home in their backyard. So going through planning and zoning and all that to rebuild a new building, I just didn't think was needed, because the Ford name has always been known in very high regard, and the building just needed some rehab. It was, it's a perfect structure and frame for what I needed to do and the vision that I wanted to create. So in September or January of 2015, I purchased the business as well as the real estate.
Okay.
And the next day, closed off half the building and gutted it down to the studs.
Wow.
And as you saw when you came, we transformed the entire building.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like a funeral home. I didn't want a funeral home. I wanted a home where we have funerals.
Okay.
Big difference.
Wow.
So.
That is. I know we had about 9 people in a group, and some people remembered the older funeral home that was there. And I said, wow, this is like night and day. And you showed me everything you're talking about. You showed me the cameras for the remote funeral attendees if need be, and all the facilities you had. It was very impressive, and I think it's where we started our relationship, and we've sort of gotten involved in a couple of things ourselves, including our funeral plans. And it's been very, I mean, it's a no tears kind of thing. It's like, what do you want to do? What are you thinking about? I know, for instance, I was thinking about just cremation, and it's over. And you say, no, it's for the family. This is not for you. You've got to give some closure to your family. So we rearranged my thinking to, okay, we're going to still do what I just said, but have a service afterwards the next day.
Absolutely. And it's little things like that, you know. People, I love when they come in and they know what they want.
Right.
Because that's a great starting point for me.
Yep.
But then I say to most of them, okay, now you're dead. What do the people who are going to be left want out of this? Are they in agreement? And sometimes they line up the views perfectly, and that's what they want. Other times, it, as was with you and Marilyn, it was, yeah, you know what? We need to go home and think about it.
Yeah.
So whenever I'm making pre-arrangements with someone, I normally tell them, I said, listen, we're going to meet. I want to get to know you. I want you to get to know me. We're probably not going to get everything done in one day, and that's a good thing, because if you leave with more questions than when you came in, then I've done my quote-unquote job, because I've gotten you to think.
Right.
And a lot of times, you know, some people will come in and they've already talked to their family about it. Everybody's on the same page. That's okay. But more often than not, as you said before, it's a taboo topic.
Right.
Nobody wants to discuss it. So when it comes time, you know, there's a lot of surprises when people go home after having a conversation with me and I lay out various options. And again, sometimes I give them options, you know, it's not a cost factor. I always say take out the money issue. Just forget about money. It's not about money. It's about the services. So if we can figure out what kind of services you want, we can back flush into your budget. That's not normally a difficult topic. We can handle that. But really, you need to decide what you want and if that jives, if you will, with what your family wants and expects.
Yep.
And a lot of times, we normally come up with a hybrid solution. That's what normally happens. They talk to their kids, who sometimes are, well, thank God mom and dad want to actually speak about it. Other times, my kids don't even want to talk about it. A lot of times, DJ, can we have that conference call with them because they can't come in? And you'd be surprised. My schedule gets the busiest right around Thanksgiving or Christmas when the families all come home.
Isn't that
they all stop down the funeral home because they want to actually go over the plan with their family there and get input from them, because that face, that one-on-one FaceTime, you can't replace that, especially with this topic of conversation.
I mean, our conversation lasted 2.5 hours when we came over that day, and we did just what you said, to go home with more questions that you came in with, and we've done a lot of thinking. We still have a lot. We need to take the second step and put it to paper at this point in time and plan it out. I know in Marilyn's case, she one son's in L.A. and one son's here in the general area, and she talked to both of them about it and got two different reactions, but both favorable, because she was prepared to talk to it. So that, I think, is it's a good first step. You get enough information to go back and have that conversation with your family that you didn't even know how to start before you came in.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the issues, you know, too, with Marilyn, I'm not going to give away too many of the secrets here, but there were some questions that she didn't even know how to approach with finding out regarding cemetery space and not even know where to start. And, you know, I said, give me 30 seconds. And within an hour, we had a lot of major answers that really affected her sleeping at night.
I think I could share with the audience. She had a family plot with 6 people in it already, and they told her it was closed. And closed means closed. You can't be buried there. What DJ said, well, if you're going to be cremated, which is what we had decided we wanted to do anyway, perhaps we can put the cremains on top. So within an hour, I mean, this is not, I'm not kidding you. I'm not selling his services. Within an hour, he had the cemetery call him back saying, we went out, we did a probe, and there is room, and she can be buried there. We will reopen it for one cremains. I mean, I can't tell you what that meant to her. She's so ecstatic about it.
Again, does that happen all the time? No, but it put her mind at ease because she really wanted to be with her family. And I don't blame her. I mean, that's the family plot. That's where everybody is. And, it worked out. But in 10 years, if you come to me, or we had to do it right at the time, the cemetery, depending on who we got, might have just said no.
Yeah.
You know? So this way, with proper pre-planning, explaining the situation in detail and why, how she's the last member of her family, how, you know, the circumstances surrounding why she wants to go there, it makes sense. And I needed to fully understand that rather than just you say, well, here's the deed, find out. I got to know Marilyn, I got to know the reasons why. I was able to articulate those reasons to the cemetery personnel. They were able to, you know, bend some rules that they needed to and make it work, which is doing right by the people, which is what we all want. We want to do what's right by the families we're serving.
And I know in my case, I wanted to be buried at sea. We have a place I've been going to for 30 years in the Keys and just love it there. It's where my heart is at. And DJ gave me some interesting – I mean, I could be put into a little box of – I guess it's a vault, a small vault as cremains, and attached to a coral reef and be permanent. Or I can be just distributed at sea. There's laws that pertain to both, but I'm saying I didn't know you could do that.
Yeah, your family, you know, the coral reef is actually for divers and for some other people has become very popular. Your family can go down if they want and help mix you into that part of the coral reef as they build it, and then a plaque is permanently affixed underwater to where you are in the reef.
Wow!
And so you're protecting, the waterways down there. But you're doing it in such a way that's a little different, and you're giving back. So it's quite a – and it has a more permanent place for people to go to.
Right.
So you could take a boat and have the latitude and longitude planned anchor there and, you know, throw some flowers over. People do that.
Yep.
You know, it's all about that moving on with your life in a way that's productive and celebratory of the legacy of the person that's gone.
Wonderful. Wonderful conversation. Let me break for a few more commercials, and we'll be back in about 3 minutes.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunting Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunting Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
Hi, this is Ruth Ann Disatel, celebrant officiant with Celebration of a Lifetime. When people ask me why I joined the chamber, it's because I want to get to know you and what you're all about. And I want you to get to know me and what I'm all about. And together, I'd like to celebrate what we can do for Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce. Building business. One business at a time.
Hey, this is Joe Peters back with my 55-plus show. It's sort of my way of giving back. I do a show every week. One is real estate and one is 55-plus, and we just mix it up and get some various subjects. Our last 55-plus subject, believe it or not, was gray divorce, getting people divorced after 65 years old. It's in my archives. You can go on my page and look under 55-plus recordings, and I got to tell you, it's an amazing conversation we had. So I have to apologize. I played my commercial. I didn't mean to do that. I'm just punching down a list that they have, and I guess I was on a list. So I'm not here to sell real estate today. I'm here to just talk to DJ and see if we can shed some light on a process that's sort of hard to talk about, and at the same time, when you talk to DJ, it's not all that hard at all. So when is the best time for somebody who's saying, you know what, I got to have that conversation and know a little bit more so I can go back to my family? When's the best time for them to talk to you?
The best time is probably the time they're not really sure on what to do.
Okay.
You know, people, it's one of those things that they talk about it, put it off, think they can do it on their own.
Right.
It's like a good real estate agent. I'm not plugging you here either, but there's a lot of things that people just don't know. There's a lot of laws. There's a lot of rules. So instead of going weeks, sometimes months, with these questions that keep you up at night, a simple phone call, get in, make an appointment. You know, we meet people 24 hours a day. I mean, I meet people after work, before work, breakfast, lunch, dinner, whatever's convenient for them. And I know it's hard to even come to the funeral home. So we go to people's homes if that makes it easier
for
them.
That's interesting.
But you have to, well, coming through that door is a hard thing. It makes it real.
Yeah.
And again, I need it to be real for people, but I also know that baby steps are sometimes the best steps.
Right.
And sometimes it is just that. It's baby steps. It's just getting certain people to have a conversation they don't want to have a conversation about, and it's just, you know, I get a lot of, well, we're not going to die anytime soon, but we should probably just talk about it.
Yeah.
A lot of times I'm seeing a lot more, thankfully, people properly planning their estates, you know, getting things up for long-term care insurance, powers of attorney, all those type items. Frankly, you should really be having this conversation the minute you have a major life event. If you get out of college, if you get married, you should start talking about what happens. Hopefully you have 60 plus years of marriage.
Yep.
But if you don't, and God forbid something happens, it's good to have at least a generalized plan.
Right.
Doesn't have to be down to the tiniest detail, but having the talk is very important. And we've talked, if you go to our website, which is rightfamily.com, you'll see we're part of the national campaign, which is called the Talk of a Lifetime. And the Talk of a Lifetime is just that. It's how to have the talk, when to have the talk. And as funeral directors, we've united in trying to get the population at large to take this topic that has become so hidden and put in the shadows and bring it back out into the light. So, you know, I would encourage people the minute they, especially if they have children and they have a will and they get those type items in line, they should have some semblance of funeral plans in order.
Right. And I learned so much, and it was interesting. It was an analogy that I use that you don't know about, and you used it backwards on me. I tell people when they're considering a real estate agent, I said, you could probably do what I do, okay? There's logical steps, but it's sort of like a funeral director's job. Do you know how to put them in sequence? Do you know what affects the decisions made along the way? I said, that's sort of what I do for a living, and I get paid usually by the person that's selling the house, not the person that's buying it. And I teach technology internally at Weikert, which is where I'm employed. And I say to people, a lot of people could be what I am, but can they build a pipeline of business? And that's the hardest part as a real estate agent. A lot of people couldn't be what you are because it took 8 years of skills and application to get where you're at. But they think they know what you're doing. And at the very outset of a conversation, realize they don't know as much as they used to because it's even changed. I had some presumptions when we first talked.
Sure.
And it wasn't that way anymore. So
absolutely. And it's, you know, I encourage my families to be as involved as they want. If people want to come dress mom or dad and it's a feasible thing to do, i.e., you know, from a safety perspective, I don't feel there's going to be any problems or they're not going to be damaged psychologically from doing that. I think we've taken a lot out of our family's hands. We should give it back to them. Everybody needs a little something different, and a good funeral guide can help guide you along those paths. You know, certain religious cultures, Hindu, for example, normally the families come in and we assist them in dressing their loved one.
Okay.
Our Jewish families, most of the time, in the Shevra Kedisha, which is the burial society, the men come in for the men, women come in for the women.
Okay.
They do the shrouding of the body. That's part of the ritual. That's part of it.
Right.
So, you know, we like to give back as much as we can, but again, with modern medicine and things like that, people don't die in the home as much as they used to anymore.
Yep.
You know, somebody goes into the hospital and 4 days later, after major resuscitative efforts were done, they have 60 to 70 to 80 to 90 pounds of fluid and water on them. So, you know, mom or dad doesn't necessarily look like they used to, and it might be a little bit difficult for their family to help dress them unless they know how to, you know, do the things that I do, precautions and safety to, you know, take care of. So, again, there's a delicate balance to strike, and I think, as you do in your profession, that's why people call me.
Yeah.
You know, that's what we're here for, and a good funeral guide can help strike a nice balance to give the families what they need and what they deserve, and also not burden them with the loads of paperwork. If people knew what really goes on, the mounds of paperwork that we have to do to comply with state law, I mean, they don't need to. That's why they, you know, engage us, because they don't need to be bothered with that. And most people would never be able to navigate those waters. Sometimes I can't even navigate those waters.
And real estate is pretty much the same way. I mean, there's a lot of jurisdictions that have come out, especially after the financial meltdown that we had over the last 10 years. They've sort of over-jurisdicted us in a lot of ways. And if somebody's trying to sell our house on their own, it's like, I don't think you understand what needs to be done here. There's a lot that you need to know. But let's stay on your business.
Sure.
I think one thing I've neglected to do is how to reach DJ if you'd like to talk to him. 908-782-3311, 782-3311. And if he doesn't pick up the phone, he'll call you back in a short period of
time. Well, the answering – someone will answer the phone 24/7.
Okay, good.
But
good.
And if I don't particularly pick up, though, they will get a hold of me, and I will get back to you.
And if you haven't surmised it yourself by now, he's easy to talk to. This is a subject that's not easy to talk about, and he's probably the easiest guy to talk about. I know that night in front of 60, 70 people at the hospital, people had questions all over the place. They just couldn't get enough. And
appreciate that. Yeah, it was very – I find when we disarm – you know, certain professions, people come in with preconceived notions.
Right.
Attorneys are a perfect example. People go to many attorneys' offices with this preconceived notion that the lawyer is going to charge me per hour and rip me off. Well, they're not actually going to do that. I have a lot of friends who are attorneys, and they pour their heart and soul into their ministry just as I do mine.
Right.
You can't navigate the waters. That's why they're there.
Yeah.
And frankly, they deserve most of the fees they get paid, as I do for mine. It's just we need to disarm some people with that, number one, then death itself, number two. And if we take those barriers away and people realize that I put my pants on one leg at a time, yep, just like everybody else, yep, I've lost many people that I love to tragedy in my life, to sudden death in my life, mm-hmm, to long drawn out, people dying at home on hospice personally. So I've been there. That does not mean I understand it, because the one thing I'll tell everybody is everybody deals with it differently.
Yep.
Death is very much individualistic, but as humans, we're united by that one factor, which is death itself. So although I might not know exactly what you're feeling, I have a good idea on some of the things you might be going through, so that unites us as humans. Makes it easy to talk about.
And it was a thought. I didn't complete my train of thought earlier. I tell people there's certain things you don't know how to do, and you have to go hire a consultant. It's as simple as getting a tooth filled or maybe your car fixed or anything along those lines. Everybody you hire is a consultant, and they earn a living helping you make your life a little bit easier and doing it right. And a funeral director is the same way. We learned a lot about, when we talked to you, a funeral agent contract.
Yeah, so this is very I'm proud because I was one of the people who helped get the laws passed. This all kind of came out of before gay marriage had existed.
Okay.
We buried a lot of families out of New Hope, which is a very popular gay and lesbian, yep, area. And unfortunately, two gentlemen had been together 40, 50 years. When one of them died, the sister, who always hated the fact that her brother was gay and it was the only blood relative that the man had left, was actually in charge,
mm-hmm,
not his partner of 40-something years.
Right.
And then, of course, she would do something to spite her brother,
right,
or to spite the partner, and it was just not a good situation. There were several other examples that I could give you, but that's just kind of the gist of it.
Okay.
And so we were able to get this funeral agent law passed, and pretty much what it does is it allows somebody to appoint anybody, it can't be your funeral director though, appoint anybody else to be in charge of their final disposition of their body. So what that means is this. Right now, let's just say you have a married couple, Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Mrs. Smith wants to be cremated. Mr. Smith says, under no way in heaven am I going to allow you to be cremated. And Mrs. Smith says, well, that's what I want. Mr. Smith says, I do not care. And Mrs. Smith gets pancreatic cancer, let's just say, and the doctors tell her she has a month to live. So she knows she's going to die first. There's no, mm-hmm, question about it. And she wants to be cremated. I'm not advocating this because it can cause a problem in the family, but she can appoint her best friend, Betsy, down, yep, the road as her funeral agent. That will empower Betsy to make all decisions regarding her body, and it bucks all blood and familial ties. Again, you have to be careful because it's good if somebody has nobody.
Right.
So right now I'm single, not married. My parents, I hope to outlive my parents. So if there's no blood relatives left to take care of me, providing I don't get married prior to that, have children, which I would like to do one of these days, but if that's not the case, then I would appoint somebody, a friend, as a funeral agent, and then they would be in charge of my body and hopefully put whatever funeral plans I have in place at the time, put them into action. So this really is, for people who aren't married, who aren't sure that someone's going to follow through with their wishes. It's normally done as a codicil, an addendum to a will. It's very simple legal language that your attorney can place in.
Right.
And it really safeguards your wishes so that your wishes will indeed be followed. Because, for example, Joe, you could come to me right now and say, DJ, I want to be cremated. I'm going to sign my own cremation authorization. And I'll say, fine, Joe, you've signed a piece of paper that really has no weight. And no judge in the law or in the land is going to authorize a cremation after you die if somebody comes and says we don't want them cremated and they have legal standing to do so,
mm-hmm,
because cremation is irreversible and final. But if you have somebody who will act on your behalf as your agent and will follow through with your wishes, then there's no problem. It can be done.
Beautiful. Beautiful. And how you're saying you helped institute it. It wasn't in place before?
No, it wasn't. It was kind of a free-for-all, and it you know, our state association, the New Jersey State Funeral Directors Association, really spearheaded it. I mean, I can't really take credit for it. I was one of the ones who helped, you know, fight for it and push it. But the New Jersey State Funeral Directors Association really pushed to get the legislation passed. That was before gay marriage obviously became legal in New Jersey. But it's not just with gay and lesbian couples. It was a lot of other issues where, you know, somebody wanted one thing and the person who would be in charge didn't. And then, you know, we have people all the time. They're estranged from their family. Well, theoretically, their family's in charge, so we have to track down the family. Most of the time, the family doesn't want anything to do with it, so the body would remain at the morgue for some time, weeks upon end, because we couldn't get a hold of anybody.
Right.
Whereas this person had an attorney who was their great friend who could have, they just simply could have appointed it, this person as their funeral agent, and it would have been done, and they would have received a lot more dignity and reverence, you know, in a quicker time fashion, but there was nobody to follow through. That's the problem. A lot of people think that, you know, I hear all the time, well, this is what I want. Well, that may be what you want, but that's not what's going to happen, because who's in charge when you're gone?
Yep.
And then they stop and think about it and they realize, wait, I don't know who really is in charge. Or we see this more and more often, you know, three siblings. Well, two are fighting with the one. Well, that could throw a monkey wrench in what the plans actually are.
Right.
If what are we going to do with dad? Well, two want one thing, one wants another. That might be a problem.
Yep.
So in order to help families not go through a lot of that angst and that fight, and I always tell my families when they're pre-planning, I said, listen, it's your responsibility if you want to do what's right and properly pre-plan. If you know or you foresee there being an issue, the onus is on you to have that discussion with your family beforehand and explain why you're appointing a neutral third party to follow through with your wishes. And the wishes can incorporate the wishes of all three of your children who all want different things for you and also what you want. But this third party would be the neutral one to implement it. That way, the brother is not mad at the one sister, whoever. And, you know, so you're not destroying families.
You're not destroying families.
Yeah.
That's a good way to put it.
Absolutely.
So that person who is the executor, I guess, as you have in a will of your funeral arrangement, then becomes the decision maker.
Not necessarily. A funeral agent is different from an executor or an executrix. So if you have a will, you can have an executor or an executrix. If there is no will, then someone's appointed an administrator of your estate. A funeral agent, it can be somebody totally different. It can be your executor or executrix if you name them to be, but it can also be somebody totally different.
But I guess the point I was trying to make, they were over just your final wishes, not over your estate.
Correct. The funeral agent is over your final wishes, the disposition of your body and whatever that may entail. Burial, cremation, entombment, medical school donation, any services that encompass it, memorial services, masses, whatever the case may be. And the executor is normally, if the attorney writes the will correctly, which they 99.9% of them do, they write it so the funds are available from the estate first to pay for the wishes of the executor or the wishes of the funeral agent to carry out your wishes.
Yep.
So it's usually, and most of the time, most of my families have already pre-planned and prepaid it down to the penny.
That's what I was going to mention next, because you've got these trusts of several types that could be prepaid or paid out of the insurance at death, and
so
it's fully funded.
There's two really types in New Jersey, and I'm very proud. New Jersey leads the United States in pre-planning protection for the consumer. Number one, if you plan with choices, that's the New Jersey Prepaid Funeral Trust Fund.
Mm-hmm.
The money stays in your name.
Mm-hmm.
It's FDIC insured up to $250,000.
Hmm.
It's portable anywhere in the United States. So if, let's say you tell me, DJ, I want to be cremated. It's simple, short, sweet, to the point. Comes out to $2,500. You put $2,500 into account. It accrues interest. It's $3,000 by the time you die. But by the time you die, you've been living in California for 5 years, and you have no ties to Flemington or anything else.
Right.
All the person who's taking care of you and your arrangements out in California does is call the California Funeral Home. They send a death certificate to the New Jersey State Funeral Directors Association, and they get every penny, including every bit of interest that you ever put in.
Wow.
I get nothing for all the arrangements and work I've done on my part. It all goes right to the California Funeral Home. And funeral directors are, some have different ideas on this because it is a lot of work on our part. You know, it's normally, 8 to 10 hours of my time at least over several days. plus all the paperwork involved for a family. And 99% of the time, most people come back to us. But there is that percent that moves away in this moving society that we talked about. So it's very important that people understand that the money is safe and it's portable. I want people to know that.
Wonderful. So once again, if you wanted to talk to DJ a little bit more about that, you can call him at the Funeral Parlor. It's 908 Funeral Home, I guess you'd prefer.
Funeral
Home for funerals.
You got it.
908-782-3311. My name's Joe Peters, 908-238-0118, if you have any questions for me. But we're talking today more about what DJ's career and sort of service to the community is. You've been in Flemington now since you got out of school, 14 years in this industry, in your own business for the last two or three.
Mm-hmm.
What has changed since you've been in it?
I would say the biggest thing, and it's a double-edged sword, but it saddens me a little bit, is the disjointing of families. A lot of people, you know, technology is great.
Yep.
But I think we sometimes misplace its use, and we forget, you know, that FaceTime doesn't really represent true FaceTime with the ones we love. And I think it's caused us to be a little more alienated as opposed to closer to our families.
Hmm.
And I get it. People, they have to move where the jobs are. They have to they have to go. You know, taxes don't allow a lot of our elderly families to stay, sadly, where they were born and raised and hope to die. So they move over the border to Pennsylvania. We go to Easton all the time right now, or Upper Black Eddy, because it's half the cost of living in Hunterdon County.
Yep.
To me, that's sad, and I know people are working on that, and I hope our freeholders are listening, because I know they're trying to make some inroads on that. But the disjointing of families, I think families need to really come together more as a family unit, and that unit is not blood. You know, my family are some of my best friends.
Right.
But we make it a point to get together and talk about things that I would talk about with my own family. So I just think we need to do that a little bit more.
Well,
the world be a better place.
I know in the we just finished a white paper called for the Leadership Hunterdon program that I finished up last week, called Hunterdon County, a Reason to Come, a Reason to Stay. And we quoted you in that. I said it was an aha moment, because what we were studying was where people were migrating in and out of the county. And a lot of over 65s, as you said, migrate out because they just can't afford to live. So if they don't have a financial or family nexus here, and sometimes they still have the family, but it's cheaper to live in Pennsylvania or Delaware or whatever, and then come back here when you die and be buried in a family plot. And how I got to this was I had asked DJ, as part of our interview process, how many people die a year in Hunterdon County? So I got to think about it. So what do you mean? It's your business. He said, no, I got to sort of take the people out that just did what I described. And I said, really? We're driving people? But we are. We are. It's a great place to live, but an expensive place to live.
We're at the airport several times a month, bringing people back from Florida, North Carolina.
Wow.
People I know are living 6 months in a day down in Florida just so they can settle their estates there and not New Jersey.
That's amazing.
And that's where, you know, it's the letter of the law. They're following it to the letter of the law. But as you said, I'm grateful they're, you know, they trust me and, you know, want me to care for them at their time of death. So they do come back.
Right.
But it's from all over now. And especially, again, as you said, just the outer fringes, just over the border.
Right.
Where everything is 25-30% cheaper.
That's amazing. So one of the other things I learned, you are in an association that helps people that needs help in guardianship.
So, yeah, I am president of Volunteer Guardianship One-on-One. Actually, Rabbi Evan Jaffe of Blessed Memory introduced me to the organization several years ago. I'm currently serving as its president. And we take people who literally have no one. And people in Hunterdon County, they don't realize that our food banks are one of the most widely used in the state.
Wow.
We have a very wealthy population, but people don't realize that there are so many people out there that have financial resources. They have their own home, they have whatnot, but they're getting up there in years and they have no family left. They have nobody to care for them. They have children who are living their own lives and, sad to say, don't really want anything to do with mom or dad. And we provide volunteer guardians for them. We provide oversight in all the allied professions, from accounting to legal issues to medical issues. and we really just make sure that they're taken care of. And a lot of times it's, you know, the person's appointed by the court to be guardian over their person and finances. And a lot of times, you know, we can use their resources to keep them in the house with an aide for several years. And then sometimes it's involves selling the house, transitioning them to Medicaid, getting their funeral arrangements paid and taken care of, whatever funeral home they want, in other areas as well. And it's just giving people hope and realizing that they are not alone. We've had funerals where it's just been our volunteer guardians and our volunteer guardianship board. Literally, there is nobody left.
How sad.
But to see everybody turn out, it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
You know, I bury many of the indigents in Hunterdon County. I do it because I think it's the right thing to do. And I've called on my friends, and they've come out. They've taken days off of work to come out because they don't think it's right that someone just has nobody there. So Volunteer Guardianship One-on-One is a phenomenal organization. We're looking for volunteer guardians. It's not a lot of time, but the reward is great. And we give you all the training you need, no charge.
I know just from talking to the people, and I knew several of the people, I guess your current her name is Cindy
Douglas.
Douglas. And, yep. I knew her. She had sold her house and bought her house for me. And she says, Joe, I need you to join. I said, I just joined Hunterdon Helpline. It's like too much right now.
Yep.
But someday I think I'd like to learn more.
You'd be great for it because you know what? All you really need is a caring heart and the willingness to do the right thing. We take care of all the rest. We give you the guidance. We give you the education. And to know that you are truly, truly making a positive impact on somebody's life who otherwise might be eating cat food or living out of their car, which are some of the cases we've had. I don't want to say rescued them, but we have rescued them from those situations and got them into facilities where they can be properly cared for. There's no greater feeling in the world than to know you've been able to help your fellow man.
And I think that's how this program came to be because I talk about real estate and I earn a living doing real estate. And I just didn't need 4 hours a month to talk about real estate. And then Chris came to me and said, what do you think we could use the Ever 2 for? I said, I'd like to start with an idea of 55 plus because I'm finding more and more people are getting older and older, especially as we start to live longer and longer.
Absolutely.
And haven't gone through what I've already gone through. I'm 72 at this point, so I've gone through a lot of it.
Young man.
And a young 72, I hope, but still 72 and nonetheless. Okay, yeah. Beats, you know, whatever. But I'm trying to bring people on that can make a difference in a community. And then I'm recording these shows, and they're on my Facebook page, and they're in my 55 Plus. If you go to Jay Peters, my last name, Peters, jpeters.com, and you'll find a 55 Plus tab there, and you'll find radio shows that have been pre-recorded. There must be a dozen out there now. As I said, last time we did Gray Divorce, people over getting divorced over 65, a very interesting subject. We've done subjects on tax considerations, financial considerations. We did subjects of the veterans and how we can help the veterans that are now seniors. That one's had 700 replays.
Wow.
I mean, it was just an amazing. I have an attorney friend, and we do a lot of business together. We consider each other friends as well. And she is going all the way back to the Vietnam War and getting people benefits. And if she doesn't get you benefits, you don't owe her a penny. So it's a neat neat give back kind of society.
And it's so important to have this library of resources. I think people just can't be afraid. You have to – the first step, let's face it, it's the hardest.
Yeah.
But as you and Marilyn saw, when you finally came in, how many issues were solved? How many
–
and I can tell you almost every single person that comes to my door says, wow, why did we not do this sooner?
Right
what
down
were we
to
thinking?
The therapy dog.
Yes.
Tammy the therapy dog.
Tammy, that's our chocolate Labrador support dog who's there at the request. She's there for most of our families want her. I've had one or two people who said, you know, we don't think that's appropriate. And I understand it, different feelings. But I just posted on our Facebook page today, which is Wright and Ford Family Funeral Home and Cremation Services on Facebook, an article about a therapy dog in upstate New York at the funeral home and the impact that that dog is having. And I'm proud to be one of the only, I think, in this part of New Jersey that offers that service.
It's amazing. It's just nice to see a wagging tail come at you when you come in the door. It's
absolutely
a very sad time and a very – very concerning time when it happens and you don't have a lot of plans made. So if you would like to, anybody in our audience, and this gets replayed several times, so if anybody in our audience would like to talk to DJ personally or make an appointment with him, 908-782-3311. He's with the Wright and Ford Funeral I keep saying funeral parlor because it's instilled in the
That's
back
okay.
of my brain,
That's
but it's a home for funerals. And they're just above the Flemington Circle on the northbound side. So if you're going south, it's on your left. If you're going north, it's on your right. Obviously easy to talk to. My name is Joe Peters. I work with Weichert in Clinton. If you've got any suggestions or questions for me, 908-238-0118. This is my way of giving back, and this recording will be available for you in about a week or two, and you can replay it with your friends or family as many times as you want. Maybe get them into the groove with you and then make that call to DJ and get started. DJ, thanks a lot for coming on.
Joe, I appreciate it. I'm honored, and like I said, if we could just keep making a difference on all these life events,
exactly.
That's all we can do, one family at a time.
One family at a time, one event at a time. Thanks
exactly.
again.
Thanks, Joe.